Job Bachelor with my good colleague Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution. We're discussing his most recent column at Real Clear Politics, based upon a commentary provided by three distinguished men of the left and of education. Mr. Douthat, a columnist, Mr. Bruni, a columnist and editor at the New York Times, and Mr. Summers, a gadfly intellectual. He's everywhere. He's academic. He's disciplinarian. He's on television. He's entertaining as heck. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Now we come to the faculty room. And therein, Peter, I defer to you because I've never been in the faculty room. I always passed it by in grade school. And now I realize that all they were doing in there was smoking cigarettes. I thought they were actually conferring about something. But you've been in faculty rooms where it's presumed there is no dissent on major issues. Is that correct?
Well, let's say that dissent on major political issues in
Donald
faculty
Trump,
rooms,
to be specific, there's no dissent on Donald Trump.
To make the point very fine, correct. No dissent on Trump is allowed, generally, yes.
And that is an entertainment to this? That is a because it describes a monoculture, almost like a science fiction piece. The time Trump's name comes up, everybody snaps to attention and starts scowling. Is that what happens?
Well, we might be slightly caricaturing, but in your caricature, John, I recognize a deeper truth, which is, yes, generally and for the most part, a defense of any sort of Donald Trump or the people who vote for him is generally unwelcome at our elite university campuses.
I don't want to say conservative. I'll use the word heterodox. Doesn't that avoid the problem? Okay. They must be aware, the faculty members and the chairman and the emeritus, everybody must be aware that there's very little heterodox thinking going on in the university. Do they talk about it? Do they write about it, Peter?
Well, on the one hand, there are counter movements have arisen, including something called Heterodox Economy, Heterodox Academy, which I think now boasts a couple thousand members. These are professors throughout the country devoted to what they call viewpoint diversity. That's good. At the same time, I do believe that there are many faculty members who are not that concerned about the absence of conservative opinions on campus because they regard conservative opinions as ignorant, stupid, or wicked. And their instinctive thought is, why do we need the representation of ignorant, stupid, or wicked opinions on campus? Too many people think like that. Very few people on campus feel it urgent to have the opinions, to have conservative ideas flowing through campus. Although it is urgent, if only to challenge left-wing opinions and keep them from ossifying into an unchallengeable orthodoxy.
Do I remember correctly that it was 60 years ago, UCLA is my memory, maybe it was another campus in California, that started the whole idea of free speech on campus. 1964 is my memory, maybe it was 62. It's 60 years later. And when I came to this line in your story, Summers summoned universities to renew their dedication to free speech. What dedication? 60 years. It was denied. It was denied and condemned 60 years ago. They've never been welcoming of free speech.
That is a fair retort. They summon them. He should be summoning them to dedicate themselves to free speech, which they always ought to have been defending. That would have been a better formulation. You're right.
And your summary here, because you've been very careful about this and careful about language. My dear daughter once said to me as I passed a Home Depot store and wanted to go in, she said, "Dad, first you've got to admit you have a problem." Okay, fine. Okay. Do the university presidents and those who aspire to be president, do they acknowledge they have a problem with free speech, with diversity, with heterodox thinking, and with basically the MAGA people? Do they acknowledge maybe we've gone too far?
What we are beginning to see, yes, acknowledgement of the problem. We're beginning to see that they realize that they've gone too far. We're beginning to see that they realize that they need to work on diversifying their faculty in the most important kind of diversity on a university campus, which is diversity of opinion. But we haven't made enough progress because, I'm sorry to say, too many leaders at our university still do not understand, have not recovered a proper understanding of the aims of liberal education, the structure of liberal education, or the spirit of liberal education. And until they do that, their reform efforts will fail.
What about the politics in the faculty lounge that are, as I understand it, now routine? I don't see any merit to that. I mean, how you vote is not the reason you were hired, is it?
Well, you're right. It's not the reason that you're hired, but we have many faculty members on campus who believe that the purpose of scholarship and the purpose of teaching is to advance the true political opinions. And so even if they don't really entertain discussions about Trump in the faculty lounge, they can, as they say, suss out political views, political opinions, political leanings, and that factors into their assessments of candidates for jobs, candidates for promotion, and so on.
Peter Berkowitz, writing for The Real Clear Politics, about an essay that appeared in the New York, I presume it was the New York Times, maybe it was another publication, and which I will go back and read now that I've read Peter's commentary on it. I recommend to everyone, because this challenge for universities is in front of us. They're enormously expensive. They're enormously sophisticated. And I believe they have the tools to not just make a course correction, but rethink what their job is. Peter Berkowitz is at the Hoover Institution.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.